Good evening and welcome to Airtime. I'm Kitty Goddard, president of AIR, Arts Incubator of Richardson, and we are in our sixth season of Airtime, so we've had quite a few of these wonderful experiences to share with the community. And tonight we are really pleased to have as our guest artist, Jenny and Kevin Galvan, who are the owners and proprietors of Haystack Burgers and Barley, and which you know is just like two doors down. Please give them a hand. Believe me, my husband and family and I, we give them a hand all the time. What can I say? What's not to love? Anyway, we're so excited that they're here as our guest and with our moderator for season six, David Fisher. And just so you know, AIR is a nonprofit that is seeking space to provide homes for all types of artists and creatives. And if you want to be involved, we're on Facebook. You can check us out on our website and also Twitter and Instagram. Anyway, I will now turn the program over to the one and only Mr. David Fisher.
Thank you, Kitty. Welcome to season six of Airtime. She has already introduced our guests for today, Jenny and Kevin Galvan, the owners of Haystack Burgers, which is, again, just two doors down. Haystack, as I've heard, was instrumental in the development of Alamo Drafthouse. When Alamo was being built, it was their off-site office. There was lots of iced tea drunk down there. So again, please, I'm glad to meet you and glad to have you here. So in reading your story, Kevin, you're a fourth generation restaurateur. It read like one of those old-fashioned novels. I can just imagine four generations of restaurant people. Tell us a little about your great grandfather who immigrated here and started a restaurant in all of these cities that I've heard of but never visited.
My dad's side of the family has always been in the hospitality business. My grandmother's family were bootleggers back in the day, so it's somewhat of the hospitality business. And my dad's side, my grandfather, his family opened their first restaurant in Thurber, Texas, and it was called Mexican Restaurant.
So it was called Mexican Restaurant.
Yes.
That was the name of the restaurant.
Mexican restaurant. Yeah. So describe the food. They didn't really get the marketing side of it yet. My family's always done Mexican food, and mm-hmm. I was the first one to branch out and do something else besides Tex-Mex food.
A particular kind of Mexican, particular region of Mexican food?
I would say more Tex-Mex.
Okay.
That's right.
Because I grew up in California, and when I moved here to Texas, the Mexican food from California is very different than the Mexican food here.
Yeah, they use more white queso. White cheese.
Here is more white cheese than
California.
In California, more white cheese.
So.
Okay. See, I remember in California, you could either get red sauce or green sauce. And then here, you can have all sorts of different sauces, and they have names other than red and green.
Yes. So my family's always done restaurants, and it's something when I was growing up, I never wanted to do. And so when I got back from school, I started working with my father, realized I absolutely loved the restaurant business, and so I ventured into it.
Now, through four generations, are there recipes, are there traditions of restaurant?
There's a lot of Tex-Mex recipes that my family has, but we developed all of our Haystack recipes by ourselves.
And so what's the most famous Galvan family recipe, Tex-Mex recipe?
I think our hot sauce is really good.
Well, when you talk about that Galvan family and Mexican restaurants, Mi Cocina is, Miko is married to his cousin, so that's all in the family. Luna de Noche was his cousin. Casa Milagro is Kevin's cousin. So
it's a dynasty.
It's a Mexican restaurant kind of mafia. But when he said he was born into it, I mean, he's been born into it. He started making nachos at 9 in his parents' restaurant, started waiting tables at like 13. So he's always, he was always around it, and that's why he said he'd never do it.
So how did you get started? What inspired you to want to start your own restaurant?
It's always, Jenny and I have known each other since we were 14, so we've had lots of conversations about if we ever got married, what would you do and grow up? And I said I would do that.
Kevin has a background. He was with Houston's for 5 years, been with Payway, been with all kinds of restaurants, corporate. and our kids, I guess they were 1.5 and 4.5, and we said, you know what, it's now or never, because they're still young enough that if we lose everything, we can start again. And I don't know any successful restaurant person that's ever not lost everything to begin. Mm-hmm. You know, sometime along the way, not everything's going to be a winner. So we opened a little place in Allen, and it was called Ricardo's. His parents had a restaurant called Ricardo's. We kind of changed it, but it was still the same name, the same recipes. So we kept the name the same, and did that for 5 years. In fact, my parents are here, and they're great investors in Ricardo's and Haystack and in us. So, but we kind of, 08 got the best of us, to make a really long story short. And so we got out of it and said never again. And I was a financial advisor, and Kevin was trying to do real estate. And one day, it was almost exactly 3-4 years ago, we were taking a walk around Thanksgiving, and I was like, just go back and do what you love, because you're not going to make less money than you're making right now. Just go back and do what you love.
She probably told me I was a horrible
real estate. Yeah, and then the next day he wakes up and he's like, you know, I was praying about it, Jenny, and God told me I need to go open a restaurant. So I didn't know if it was me or God telling him that. But and when we realized we've lived in Heights Park in the Heights area for a long time, and we realized we were now the oldest people in the neighborhood instead of the youngest ones, that this was the neighborhood we wanted to do it in. This was our neighborhood. We wanted to help revitalize this area, and we knew what it could be, and we saw the people that could be our guests and our customers. So we did it, and our 9-year-old named it. She's our creative one, and she came up with the name, and Kevin came up with the food, and I came up with the design. And
what was the inspiration for the name?
Oh, I wish we could say something great and exciting. We've got to make up a good story, but we were just thinking of names, and we wanted it to be kind of a country western, mm-hmm. not western, but just a Texas name. Style. And we were driving on 190, and she saw hay bales and said, "Hey, stack." And that was way before, almost 9 months before we opened, but we just kept going back to that name because it worked.
I knew the restaurant name had to be one name, mm-hmm. instead of having a number of words in there. People remember it a lot better if it's just Haystack.
And so you didn't come from the restaurant business.
No.
So how did you get assimilated into this mafia dynasty?
Well, I married into it.
And how have your roles developed or changed? As the first Ricardo's and now Haystack?
Well, our roles, as far as in the restaurant, the same. The one thing I can't stand is I don't like to cook. I know that sounds crazy. I'm not any good at it. I don't enjoy it, but I love people. And so that's where I get to do what I love, and I get to be around people every day. When we closed Ricardo's, it was almost like a death to us. I mean, it was. And Kevin looked at me and was like, this is crazy that we're this sad about it, because it's a dream, and we can always build another dream. And what I was most sad about was all the friendships that we had made that I knew weren't going to be with us anymore. So that was another exciting thing about getting to do this again, is the new friendships we've made. And that's why we're here right now, because of Kitty and Dick coming into the restaurant and us forming a friendship with them and loving what Kitty's doing with Air. So we really wanted to be a part of that.
Well, and being a part of this neighborhood,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, being part of the neighborhood. So our roles have not... Kevin's the...
I'm the operator.
He's the operator.
Yeah. When we get at home, she's very, got to do this, and I'm very laid back. But when it comes to the restaurant, she's just kind of laid back. And
she's the people person.
Yeah.
You're running
yeah.
things.
Yeah, and I want to go out and make sure it's happening, because there's a lot of things going on in the restaurant, and they have to be executed.
Kevin's always says, organize chaos.
Hmm. So your signature cocktail is also named the Haystack. Tell us a little bit
about
the
Haymaker.
The Haymaker.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The Haymaker is going to be, we knew we didn't want to do a margarita because everybody has a style of margarita that they like. So we developed the Haymaker, which is Maker's Mark, orange juice, lemonade, and iced tea served frozen. And so
it's frozen.
I'll be right back. Yeah. I'm going to go.
We say frozen into yumminess, but Kevin won't say the tagline.
Yeah.
He refuses.
So you've talked a lot about family and about getting home and how, I mean, just, I think it's pertinent for any small business owner, but especially a restaurant that's customer service and has late hours and dinner time. How do you balance family Because obviously on your website and the inspiration, family is very important to you. How do you balance work and family and the roles and involving the girls in what you do and still separating, having a home life and a work life?
Well, if anyone's been into the restaurant, they know Gabby is the one word that we can describe why we can do both.
She's our manager. She's amazing. At the beginning, we were there a lot, mm-hmm. but now we have our manager, Gabby, and she handles everything for us, runs the operation just like we want it, like for her there. She runs it for us.
And that was one of the things when we had Ricardo's. We were closed on Sunday there, but we worked all the time, and we said if we did it again, we can't work all the time. Our kids are now 12 and 15, and you would think that our life would be less busy the older they get, but it's more busy. I mean, there's no way that we could raise two wonderful kids and do this every night. So that was kind of a deal we made with ourselves, that we would rather take home less money at the end of the day mm-hmm. and pay great people to do great work, and so we can have some kind of balance. And it's really, so far, we have incredible people that work for us, especially in the kitchen, really great guys. So we're really blessed with that.
So what do you think the biggest challenges of the restaurant business are?
It's finding those right people.
Finding
the right people to operate it like with the passion that we have for the business. And so definitely compensating them the fair way.
Well, finding them and keeping them. I mean, restaurant workers, I mean, if you're working at McDonald's or a fast food place,
feel like it's an extension. When you go into Haystack, we want it to be, and it's an extension of our home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much who we are. And so when we hire people, I want someone that's not just going to, okay, they represent Haystack, they represent me. And how do I want to be represented? Would I be friends with this person or make conversation with this person outside of work? And if it is someone that I think that we click with, it's just going to be a better fit. It doesn't necessarily always have to be that way because, you know, we like different, you know, types of people for sure. But for the main part, they represent us. And that's something that I think with anybody that owns a small business, you have to have employees that you feel really comfortable and confident that they represent you well.
And that's a big transition. That's a big growth step for any small business is when you can back off and actually hire a staff. Mm-hmm. So
we've created a model where I tell everybody who works there, I want them to, when they come into work, they're happy to come to work. They're not, God, I got to go to work today. I don't want anybody to dread it to have to come to work. So we've created a family atmosphere, and Jenny and I really enjoy when we're sitting there doing our work and the staff is laughing with each other and having a good time, you know, and they know when it's time to start working, servicing the guests, they know how to focus on that.
So is there a book in the making, the Haystack model for running a small business?
For location number
It three. sounds like you have a great,
procedures.
I mean, it sounds like you have a
we
great.
We do have a big procedure book that we wrote. That's about it.
So what's your biggest, I mean, obviously you don't just eat at home or at Haystack. What's your biggest pet peeve in other restaurants?
So many.
What are your top five pet peeves?
Don't go out to dinner with us.
Even
ever.
Our kids start.
Our kids. We went somewhere the other day, and they just ripped this place apart. And the food was good, but they went and they noticed every little thing, what every server was doing, how they approached tables, that they were playing. You know, one girl licked her finger and kept serving food, and they like notice those things that maybe other mm-hmm. people wouldn't notice. So it's
the kids
funny.
Approach. Well, I think they should be doing this to make sure it's better. And I was like, okay, you're right.
And what was that you said about kids not wanting to get into their parents' business?
Well, hopefully they never did.
One of his pet peeves, though, is when people come by and they say, "Is everything okay?" Because you never want everything to be okay. You want it to be great.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do ever hear anybody say that at Haystack, you know. You can say something and correct them. Because it's not an okay experience. You want to create something better than okay. And that's probably his number one pet peeve.
See, that's actually that's on my list of pet peeves because I find that we're going in a transition of they'll come by and say, does everything taste good? Instead of what the waiter's really saying is, do you need anything?
Yeah.
Can I be of service?
Yeah.
Do you need anything? Is there anything wrong? Instead of does it taste good? Well, yeah, but I really need some more iced tea.
Yeah.
So you've been in Richardson for 15 years now. How do you think, in your opinion, how has Richardson changed over the past 15 years?
Well, I was born and raised here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was, not born, but I've been here since 1976.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, gosh, I just aged myself, but I'm older than that. I won't tell you how old I was when we moved here. I don't know. I grew up on the east side. We live over on the west side. I'm not that it's two different sides, but I kind of feel like it is. There's such a, I don't know, I just feel that Richardson's such a community, and everyone takes really a lot of pride in being here and living here. People want to be here, and before it was just kind of, yeah, oh, we live in Richardson. It's just a little suburb.
Well, there used to be space between Forest Lane and,
right,
and Beltline.
Right.
Now it's just all one.
I think the restaurant scene has changed in this area. Before, we'd have to go Campbell and North or Forest and South to find somewhere to eat, but now there's so many restaurants opening up in this area between Campbell and Forest that you have tons of choices coming to the area.
So do you think Richardson has a vibe or an identity of its own?
I think different neighborhoods have different identities and vibes. Like you can tell, like, even what neighborhood, like, someone comes in the restaurant and you can tell almost what neighborhood they live in Richardson. So that's kind of fun. But I think it does. I think it's standing on its own and it's not just part of Dallas anymore. Because usually, you know, when I was growing up, I said I lived in Dallas. I mean, everyone just said they were from Dallas. And now I think people take a lot of pride and say, you know, we're from Richardson. We live here. I think that's a really...
Well, and I think, I mean, I moved to the Richardson School District just to be in the Richardson School District, even though I lived in Dallas proper. So, you know, we know a lot of people up here and went to the Richardson High School concert last night. And so know all those people. So I've known waiters and cooks, and I think we touched on this a little bit ago, waiters and cooks and restaurant folks who the last thing they want to do when they get home is cook. So how do you deal with eating at home? Do you cook Thanksgiving?
No.
No, my mom's. We're going to my parents. Yeah. And my mom's like an amazing cook. So I have been a big disappointment in that area. But we
try not to cook at home.
Yeah, like today, my kids had somewhere to be tonight, so I made them sandwiches, but I toasted the bread, so that was...
Yeah. She spiced it up a little bit.
Do you leave a little note on top?
No. So, yeah, I figured if they get, like, a fruit or something or a vegetable, we're good.
Okay, so when you're eating Two Doors Down, what's your favorite burger and why?
We don't...
That's embarrassing. I'm a pretty basic guy. Uh-huh. I just like cheeseburger, pickles and mustard.
Pickles and mustard, okay.
So I can add a little bit of little flavor with the mustard, but I can really taste the flavor of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
I like, my favorite's Escoveche burger, but like when we just sit down, the two of us, to eat, like usually we like try to eat salad and stuff over there, but like when we split a burger, we split like our classic cheeseburger, but Kevin's always making new things up, like we have a Frito pie burger, because he would always put Fritos and queso all over his chili burger, so we started serving that, and now we have something called Cluck Cluck Moo, and it has, because he's wanted to try this, and it's two fried chicken tenders on a burger patty with queso. You can tell he likes queso with queso on it. Anything with queso is good.
So good. Such a good combination.
Yeah. But,
all right. Yeah. So you know, the Arts Incubator of Richardson and Airtime, their mission is, you know, igniting creativity through the community, and food and community and restaurants and neighborhoods are all part of creativity. So, and obviously you have a very creative menu. These are great names, and it's almost, you feel like there's a story behind each of these burgers. So tell me about the story, the vibe that you want Haystack to portray. If there was this backstory, a mythical story on the wall, what is the Haystack story?
I think from the menu side of it, the food portion, there's so many different burger places out there that they're creating too much. I call it the foo-foo burger. You know, that you're really not sure what's on it, what they're trying to accomplish. So I just wanted a straightforward burger, straightforward menu, where something that you could do in your backyard, but we're doing it for you. And so it's fresh quality ingredients. We don't have a freezer or microwave in Haystack, so everything's brought in fresh to us daily. Just like the bread's brought fresh to us. And I guess the full experience would be creating a, there's so many different details in a restaurant that I think people might pick up on the first time, the next time, or maybe a year later. So we're anywhere from our cloth napkins to the chandeliers or the cow heads on the wall. And so it's creating a lot of different touches in the restaurant.
I don't think there's anything mystical. It's just place. We created some place where we would go eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we wanted, is some place that we would want to be at every day. So it's worked out so far.
Good. Well, I have eaten there and had a long before I knew that I was going to come to interview you, I had eaten there and had a great experience.
Good.
So let's turn it over to the audience and if we have any questions out in the house. Over here.
I think when I worked at Houston's, it's you're cooking with a lot of wood, and it's a very hot grill, and I think the meat cooks out a lot quicker, and it tends to sometimes get a dry product that's not done right, and so we used a flat top, so it would flat top's just a hot skittle, big skittle, and so it sears the meat outside, you get a nice crusty outside, almost charred, and the inside's real nice and juicy. So when you bite under a burger, it's kind of an explosion of juices. Juices coming out. Talk to my hands when I get the food.
He gets excited. Yeah. About
any other questions? Kitty?
I think it's constantly brainstorming with Jenny and I. One of the things that we focus on is how do we stay relevant in the industry? Because you see a lot of burger places, restaurants come and go. 2 years later, even a year later, you don't hear about these restaurants. And so one of the things that we focus on is staying relevant in today's time.
One of the things, the first year we were open, that it was almost our year anniversary, Dallas Morning News put out the 5 best burgers in all of Dallas-Fort Worth. And they put us on there, and it changed our business overnight, like doubled our business overnight. And that's when we realized we have to embrace this whole Metroplex. I mean, we love our little Richardson, but we have to embrace the whole Metroplex. And like Kevin said, how do we become relevant so we have other people and it's not just our patrons like voting for us for things, it's how do we get these big food critics talking about us? So then I guess it was, in September, D Magazine did something. They listed the 22 best burgers in Dallas. They had a whole list of them, but they only ranked the top 22. And I think we were number 11, which we thought we should be higher. But it was like 2 number ones.
Yeah.
So, but we were really happy because we were the only one out that did not have a Dallas address. And we don't know how that came about. Kevin's really good about social media. And he follows a lot of things and tries to comment on the right things to get, it's so much different. We had Ricardo's, everything, you know, all of our marketing was, oh, we'll do a mailer or we'll send out an email, but it's changed. It's all social media. And if you get the right people to follow you and those right people to come in and they talk about you, and maybe it's not getting more people in, but getting some of these, you know, the Leslie Brenners of the world to come in and talk about you, then it can change your business. But like Kevin said, you have to stay relevant. And it's just little things. He's very detailed. So I think that's what helps us a lot is he pays attention to the little details. So we're consistent. So if you eat there today, hopefully it should be just as good 3 years from now.
I think as we continue to grow our company, one of the things that we know we're going to focus on, I don't want people to say, well, the original's the best. I want to think, what doesn't matter, it's one of the things I learned from Houston's was, doesn't matter which store you go into across the country, the service, atmosphere, food is all going to be the exact same.
Well, we're taking investors right now for number two.
We're going to go south into Dallas, just so what Jenny said, the media looks at you totally different if you have a Dallas address, and we're trying to compete with these big burger places out there, big restaurants.
So we'll go south next. Hopefully we'll be open by the spring, our second location, and then from there we'll probably go north. But it's also easier. That's where we do life. We go south for everything. We don't go north. That's just the two of us, so that's where we feel that we're the most comfortable growing and expanding, because we know those areas better than we know. I mean, you start talking about the suburbs all around here, and there's just so many little pockets, and we don't know that as well as we know just going south into, you know, of 635. We'll be everywhere.
Like Santa Claus.
Yeah, yes. It goes back to hiring the right people. Make sure I would step out and make sure I'll start managing the managers, and gives us more time to also be on the floor talking to our guests to make sure that the experience of Haystack is there.
Because that's what I keep telling Kevin. I was like, do I have to keep, if we open another one, can I stop cleaning tables? Because that's just a solid. Can I stop carrying dirty dishes and cleaning tables? So I think that's a big one. We spend a lot of our time doing just some mundane little stuff that it wouldn't matter if we backed out of those roles and played a bigger part of, like Kevin saying, overseeing the managers, overseeing the kitchen. Like I said, we have a great manager over here, and we've kind of always said, when we open another one, this is your store. You know, we'll be in there, but this is your store. And it also makes our employees, too, that's like it's ownership. They feel like they're part of something, and they're part of the growth. And I think we'll just wait and see.
Well, there's something about staying on the front lines, keeping your fingers into that touch point with the customer that keeps you in touch with how things are going.
We went to an opening of a restaurant, this has been a couple years ago, and I won't say which one, and the owner was sitting down, and it was opening day. And we looked at each other and said, they'll never make it, because the owner was sitting down having a cocktail with someone. We couldn't get over that, because I don't think, unless you go in at 3:00, you'll never see us sitting down, or 9 in the morning when we're doing payroll and things like that. But when we're open, we're open, and you know, it's kind of, we need to
all hands on deck.
Right, right.
More questions? In the back?
Yeah.
She's going to ask what kind of milkshakes we have. She knows all of her milkshakes. Oh.
We have to mention the milkshakes and the beer.
Well,
the beer menu, it's funny enough, I haven't drank in 14 years, and so I was a very irresponsible drinker, but I'm...
So I've been supportive for 14 years and haven't drank
so
either.
We really don't know what the Haymaker tastes like, but it's a lot of trial and error asking people to taste it. But our beer menu, is one of the other things to try to set us apart from everybody else. We don't have any mainstream beers. It's all American craft-style beers. And so our draft beers only from the DFW area. And our package selection are small craft breweries from across the country. So we try to find things that are hard to find and in other restaurants. And I think our craft beer market from our guests really appreciate what we do with our beer list.
Okay, now you've just inspired a question for me, because I love craft beers, but when I go in and see a menu like yours, I have no idea what to order. And so I have to rely on the person behind the counter to recommend. So how does employee training work in that?
Most everyone's under 21 that works for us also. And they'll tell us, well, this tastes like this. I'm like, how do you know that? But we listen.
When it comes to...
They're going to stop drinking in a few years too.
When the comes to the draft list, when in doubt, say, you want to taste this? And give people taste, even with the Haymaker, hey, you want to taste this so you can get a flavor with it. And the package list, we have it all categorized, and we ask a lot of questions to the beer rep.
And I ask questions too to people who try the beers. What do you think? What does it taste like? Like, I have to, especially when we tap something new, like I serve it and I ask questions. Well, how would you describe this? Because then I can describe it to people. And yeah, but Kevin's really good and has a great relationship with a lot of the beer reps, and And they know that we don't drink, so they're really good about telling him maybe more and describing it better than they maybe would describe to someone else.
They know it's never about the case of the price of the beer. It's what's unique, it's new to the market. And so they always stick me with the 12 pack costs $160, and so I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll take it.
Any final questions?
Oh, well, you all will have to go in after this and go try one. No, they're, we had a lot of fun coming up with those recipes.
I fought milkshakes forever. I didn't want to do them because it was another step of the business that we'd have to manage, make sure it was done 100%. And so finally, Jenny got me to do them after a year and a half. But all the shakes are made with the 14% butterfat, so it's a real rich flavor. But all the mixes that we put in there are made with a pudding mix or a cake mix. And so when you blend it, it kind of thickens up and it doesn't melt down easier. No, definitely not.
Yeah, we have no idea.
So we'll finish up with a tradition here at Airtime called our top 10 shorts. And since we have two, you're going to have to both answer, but one at a time. So I have 10 short questions.
Because we're short people?
No. There's just short questions and short answers, and we'll rapid fire them.
Okay.
And so just give us the first answer that comes to your mind. Number one, night owl or morning person?
Night owl.
Morning.
Your favorite musical group or artist?
Beastie Boys.
I don't know. That's a hard one.
Brave Man Alone.
Yeah.
What film should everyone see at least once in their life?
Shawshank Redemption.
Singing in the Rain.
Very nice. What is, well, we already answered number four. It was what was on your perfect hamburger, which is mustard and pickles. What is the one dish or recipe that everyone should try at least once in their life?
Ashes.
Ashes.
We'll come back to that, I guess. What's the one dish or recipe that you could eat over and over and over again?
Chips and salsa.
Yeah, chips and salsa.
All right. What's the one bit of advice that you'd give to 18-year-old you?
Ooh. Yeah. Be responsible with the money.
Save when you're 18, not when you're 42.
What's the favorite thing to do in your leisure time?
Be with anything with the four of us.
With the four.
Anything with the four of us.
The foreign country you'd most like to visit?
We want to go to Bora Bora.
And if they're not going to be in the restaurant business, what do you want your kids to do when they grow up?
Anything they want besides business. Anything that makes them happy.
They both have very much servant's hearts. Ones are a little evangelist and ones are a little creative director. So what they're good at.
Okay, so before I wrap it up, what is this ashes?
Well, it's, my parents used to smoke when I was little. And my mom made this dessert and it had Oreos on the bottom, like Oreo crust, and then vanilla ice cream, this chocolate sauce, and it's frozen and squared. And so I was like, I'm not going to eat those ashes. And we've eaten those ashes every year since. So.
And it's Oreo cookies and vanilla
ice cream. And then the chocolate sauce.
With chocolate sauce on the top.
Yeah, I think it might be my grandfather's recipe. And we used to have it at our other restaurant, but we don't have a freezer at Haystack, so we can't serve it. Have to be out of the ice cream machine.
Everyone, please join me in thanking our guests for airtime today, Jenny and Kenny Galvin.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry, this just made me think of so many different things. one thing that I have to note pertaining to their comments, one is that with Shawshank Redemption, that was one of our airtime events last year. So those of you who weren't here, you missed a great good time with Shawshank Redemption. Anyway, and then I just have to make a note in talking about how social media has changed how you market yourselves and let people know about what's happening. My good friend Tripp, who is sitting over here in the orange shirt, he will post from Haystack his delectable burger. And the rest of us are going, Really? Did you have to do that now?
Because we're to interrupt you. On a side note, now we can, when we post stuff from Haystack on Facebook, it doesn't go to people's feed unless we pay for it now. It's the craziest thing. Unless we Instagram it or Twitter it, or we pay to promote it, it won't go to people's feed.
Well, yeah, it doesn't pay when your customers do it.
Doing it. Exactly. And then tag us. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm glad to know that we are a driver in your economic development.
Thank you. And my kids' education.
Exactly. And it's all about their happiness. Anyway, and thanks, Jenny, to your parents for being here tonight. How special. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that Airtime is underwritten by Eric L. Wise of WeltStar Advisors, as well as through a grant from the City of Richardson Cultural Arts Commission. A reminder that our next Airtime is in February the 10th, and we're going to be featuring artist and musician Jimmy Wallace. And for those of you who are regular Alamo Drafthouse fans, Jimmy Wallace is the dad of James Wallace, who is creative director here. And Jimmy has his own guitar company and also used to play with some people whose names you might know, like Stevie Ray Vaughan. And he was a Dallas rocker back in the time, so we're excited about having him in February. And the movie will be True Stories, selected by his son, so it had better be a perfect match. Anyway, thank you all for being here, and please enjoy Chef.